Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
I'm working on getting Irish citizenship, just in case.
Kate's great-grandmother was born in County Cork.
That's right.
That's on the southern, southeastern part of the island.
Hey, they have very lax citizenship laws over there, so if you have a living parent who has a parent or a grandparent,
an ancestor,
well, it only can go as far back for you to get citizenship. I think you only can go as far back as a grandparent of a living relative. So if you have a grandma who's still alive, who has a grandparent who's dead, but
that
I think
good to know.
Well, fact check me on that. But point is, it's one of those countries that's easy to get citizenship in.
Here's the deal. My grandmother was Irish, but I think she might have been born in Liverpool. We're working on getting access to the EU people. We're going to take you all with us.
We'll marry you all.
We're going to marry you all.
JK.
They believe in polygamous relationships.
This is a parody satire art project, and therefore we cannot be held legally accountable for anything we've said.
I do. Just kidding.
Let's get down to brass tacks. This episode is brought to you by the Compensation Foundation.
Compensation Foundation currently is working on a project called the Bay Area Artist Report.
The report's out.
It's
Link
already
in the
out.
Underworld.
Active. It's an ongoing. It's an ongoing anonymous platform for visual artists to report and investigate compensation practices in their field.
And we're going to have an interview today, and we're going to chat a little bit with our interviewee, Michelle Carlson, about some of these compensation ideas. Thanks to our dear partners and friends, the Present Group, who run the Compensation Foundation.
Visit them at compensationfoundation.org.
Good news, Maysoon. The Painting Salon is having a fundraiser. And as you know, Painting Salon, run by Sarah Thibault
and
Kate Nelson.
Kate Nelson. Yeah.
It's been going on for a long time.
At least 4 years.
They're having a fundraiser. You can get tickets. $40. It's for a good cause.
Yeah, they're great.
In conjunction with Interface Gallery, a special night out with Painting Salon. Yeah, so they're going to have a ticketed event with talks by John Zurier and Elizabeth Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be having a raffle. Ooh, refreshments from local vendors.
Water. There's probably going to be some La Croix.
It's only 50
that.
Seats. So this is Friday,
oh,
October
really?
27th from 7 to 10.
How much are the tickets?
And as always, they have the mix and mingle. $40, but it's for a really good cause, and
that's
it sounds like you get
for
some
a little fundraiser, actually.
Right? I'd say so. Sounds like you get the VIP treatment.
That's great.
I thought it said for over 100 years, but it's over 100 artists that they featured. Everything's terrible.
Pretty much.
Yeah, everything's pretty bad. Oh, my God.
Sometimes, there's so many things that are terrible, actually. So
just barrage of horrific news all the time, I feel like. We got to focus on what we can do, right?
How often do you read the news, would you say?
Every day.
Well, I know every day, but like, I mean, I assume
like
every
how many times
like
a day?
How, like, are you like constantly, like how many times you check your phone for like current news?
I'll probably check like the New York Times and the Washington Post like 2 or 3 times a day.
Oh, really? So kind of a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I won't read every damn article. Although I did comment for the first time.
What? You have to like register to do that.
Yeah, I have a subscription to both of those. I got them right after the election.
Mm-hmm.
And I commented for the first time on one of the opinion things on the Washington Post. And I was like, can we get the opinion shit lower down on the front page? I wish they didn't have the opinion shit at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into it.
I'm okay with it.
Why?
Well, I think I think it's okay for people to have, there are people that they choose that have some kind of educated opinions.
Sometimes
it's not just total randos,
people,
but
yeah, sometimes it's interesting.
But even if it, well, interesting or, I think even
I mean,
if
like
it's
sometimes
not reflecting
I'm like,
your,
wow, this is someone who I probably couldn't get their opinion otherwise.
Right.
Like if they had Obama do one one time and like, okay, Maysoon, point is let's focus on what we can do. And swing left for Congressional District 10, which is centered around Modesto and Stanislaus County, has ramped up their efforts to get voters registered out there. So if you want to head out to Tracy on October 14th at the Tracy Branch Library, you can hang out, and it's probably going to be really hot, so bring water.
Nah, not
it's
in October.
It's hot out there.
Not in October.
Let's look. 80... degrees and mostly cloudy, supposedly, on the 14th in Tracy. It's hot out there.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. Hopefully it'll be overcast.
It'll supposedly be down to 66 by November 4th. Is this like from the almanac? How do they guess this?
Yeah.
People want to start working now on swinging Congress to the left, regaining control of Congress. Let's get going on our closest swing district, which is Congressional District 10. If you're down south, Orange County.
Yeah.
What's that guy, Issa? What's this, Daryl Issa?
Yeah, maybe. Issa, I think.
He has a guy running against him who's already jamming pretty hard. So let's support all our California swing districts. You can go register voters, canvass. There's lots of things to do. I'll put a link in the underworld to the calendar of events. At the time of recording this on October 4th, there's only 397 days left until midterm elections.
Okay. Get it out. Get it out.
Okay, we're here in my studio. Sorry to bring you to this weird place. Talking to artist,
curator, writer,
educator, executive director of Art Practical, Michelle Carlson.
Isn't actually daily serving Art Practical?
Not anymore.
Oh, see? Mm-hmm. What's going on over
yeah,
there?
Yeah, it's really expanding.
We are expanding and shrinking both at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That we're like sounds ice. Hard. Like ice.
But not like ice.
But not like ice. We were two publications, Daily Serving and Art Practical. And this summer we decided to essentially merge Daily Serving into Art Practical. Mm-hmm. We just kind of found that we were running two publications that were doing relatively similar things, different audiences, different targets. But to really grow the way we wanted to grow and support artists and writers in the way we wanted, we couldn't run two publications. Mm-hmm. So we folded Daily Serving into Art Practical. Well, and then we decided to expand Art Practical. So Art Practical now is going to be focused on the West Coast, including Alaska, Hawaii, Baja California, and Vancouver.
Woo!
Yeah. So
and Portland.
Yep. West Coast. All
oh,
West Coast.
Yeah. Because Ashley
Stuhl Myers
is each one has like a person who's
a representative, yeah, correspondent or something.
Yeah. Each region, we have kind of three regional editors that have come on. Ashley Stuhl Myers, Vanessa Kaufman is Northern California, and then Galare Koshkazarin.
Oh, cool.
Who is one half of Contemptory, which is a really awesome publication in LA.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So that's an expansion.
It is.
For Art Practical, mm-hmm, which was mainly just focused on the Bay Area.
Mainly focused on the San Francisco, greater San Francisco Bay Area, but we have been doing thematic issues, I mean, for years, mm-hmm, and those expand outside the Bay Area.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
We kind of have been working outside of the Bay Area for a while.
And you have a flight of podcasts now.
A flight of podcasts. True. Yeah, we've expanded in that way too. So we have Art Practical Audio. So we have two podcasts and we're in the talks to maybe add a couple more. And one is
Wicked.
Hopefully, we'll see. And one is Unmaking by Weston Teruya.
Yay.
Friend of the pod here.
Oh, yeah.
Elena Gross is the host of What Are You Looking At? And that pod is in the process of, I think, adding some exciting changes and a potential co-host that
cool.
I won't reveal yet.
Ooh.
But soon. And we just hired a amazing audio video editor-in-chief, Layla Weefer. And we also started Art Practical Books, or AP Books. So we just launched our first book wow, last week, actually.
And when's there's an event coming up for that?
On Tuesday.
With Anu.
Anu Bikram, yeah, from 18th Street Projects. She wrote Hashtags, which was a column for Daily Serving for like 3 years or so. And we've kind of compiled some, about 17, 18 of those past pieces. We've revised them a little bit for mm-hmm, print. And compiled it into an anthology.
And they're really fucking good.
They're amazing. It's awesome.
And fun to read.
Yeah. Very accessible, easy to read.
Yeah.
Hard hitting.
Oh, yeah.
So we're all really, right. We're really excited about it. It's amazing to see a book.
Yeah.
Like to make a book.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Just have it. And we worked with Vivian Sming, her kind of non-art practical life. She runs Sming Books and Objects.
Oh.
And it's her publishing studio. And she makes a lot of amazing artist books. So she published the book for us.
Do you have more planned?
We do have some more in the early stages of planning, but we don't have anything set in stone yet. But we're hoping to do one every year. Mm-hmm. So
that's a lot of shit.
That's a lot of shit.
That's a lot of shit to do.
Will you work in the same a similar vein where you're sort of highlighting a particular writer, like one, or will it be thematic, or how are you thinking about those books?
Yeah, good question. We're thinking about them for now as republishing content. So a lot of the kind of strategy is like, how do we take content we already have in the world that just gets buried on the internet, or when you turn off your phone or close your laptop, it just like is all gone. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to think of ways to give all of our content a second life. And also just like, you know, really support art writers and artists in the world. So that's kind of the strategy. So probably they're going to be heavily connected to content that has existed mm-hmm. on one or two of the sites mm-hmm. at some point. So yeah.
That's super exciting.
Yeah.
Speaking of compensating, we're sponsored by the Compensation Foundation. So I know Art Practical, even before you were there, has been striving for fair compensation mm-hmm. for art writers. Mm-hmm. How's that going?
It's good.
Okay, put you on the spot. Let's go.
It's a good question. Yeah, we pay our writers. We try to pay every single person that works with us. If we don't, it's very clear that there's a volunteer situation happening,
right?
And time
is
being
like sprung on them at the end. Surprise!
Yeah. After they've done all the work, you're like, right. Oh, thank you for your volunteer hours. You're like,
yeah. Or it's very clear right up front that we're like, hey, this would be on a volunteer basis. Is this something they have capacity to do?
Yeah.
But we really hardly work with any volunteers. We at least try to pay something to everyone. One of the reasons we combined Daily Serving into Art Practical was so that we could raise all our prices. Mm-hmm. So most of our writers and editors' fees almost doubled. We're still not paying, you know, like probably nobody's paying their mortgage of writing right. for us. Yeah. And trying to find new ways to bring in money, because if we're going to pay people more, we have to find ways to make money. Mm-hmm. And so we're constantly trying to find new creative ways to also just like fund the organization so that we can pay people more.
Right.
So
damn. How long have you been there now? Like a year?
A year.
You ran another publication before Art Practical.
I was the editor-in-chief of Hyphen magazine. Right. Yeah.
So has it been like a big change?
It's been a big change in some ways. So Hyphen is an all-volunteer run organization. It has been for its entire life. Mm-hmm. Everybody from like the executive director to the interns, like everybody works on a volunteer basis. So that fundamentally makes it just a different organization to be a part of.
Yeah.
And it really is, I think, like Art Practical is still kind of a passion project, even though it's much more institutionalized than it ever has been. But Hyphen is like a legit passion project.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like the only reason you do it because you love it and you really care about what you're doing in the world.
Yeah.
With that work. So it's nice to work in a scenario that's just a little bit more formalized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because we were talking earlier about chasing, you know, people down via email, and half of Hyphen is like, hey, I know you don't get any money, but
yeah, what's yeah, going I need, on with I need, this? There's a deadline here.
Where did you go?
Yeah.
You know, are you still working here?
Hyphen's been around for a really long time, though. I had when I worked at Mother Jones, like a long line time ago, one of my colleagues there also was working at Hyphen.
Hyphen started in the hello hallways of Mother Jones.
Ah, I believe. Okay.
Yeah, that probably whoever
that might
that
have
was,
been then.
Was Yuki, one of the
Yuki. Did you know Yuki?
I didn't know Yuki. Maybe one of the founding folks. Okay. It's, I think, because it's harder to live in the Bay Area, that getting volunteers is harder. Or yeah. And Hyphen is one of those places where everybody always wants to be a part of it, but to do the work of publishing anything, let alone online content or current content, it's a grind.
Yeah.
So getting people to kind of stick around and actually do the hard work is even more and more challenging, mm-hmm. Especially for a volunteer organization. But it's been around for a long time. It's still there. It's still going strong. And it's kind of amazing.
Yeah,
that it still
it's got.
Exists.
I mean, great content. It's really,
totally.
Yeah,
and has a good following. There's still like a need mm-hmm. for it. You know, it's still one of the few spaces for Asian American media.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like we're really one of the only mm-hmm. ones still. So yeah, it's an amazing thing to have been a part of.
So do you guys do fundraisers? I was actually wanting to know like what CCA. I mean, I feel like when Art Practical moved over to CCA, there was some confusion about like what that would mean for you guys. And, you know, it sounds like you're given, there's like some funding, but not obviously not fully funded, but Could you talk about that relationship a little bit?
Yeah, so our relationship with the college is essentially, financially, they give us what is probably about 20% or so of our operating budget. Mm-hmm. I fundraise the rest. They also pay for my position. Mm-hmm. And my position is half art practical and half teaching, mm-hmm. and all the other things that go along with teaching, service, all that stuff. That's pretty much it. And then
And you have a space there.
We have a space. Yeah. We had a not such a great space, but now that they're redoing the building we were in, we have an amazing temporary space.
What?
Yeah, it's a big office. There's two leather couches.
Oh, dang.
And we feel very official.
Yay.
We keep joking that we're like finally adults working in like an adult job because we go to the office together.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's been different. It's a different structure too, because especially we have, with all the transitions we made this summer and the staff transitions, we have kind of like a full new team or half new team. And we used to work fully remote. So mm-hmm. everybody worked from wherever they were.
Yeah.
And now we have 1.5 or so days in the office. Mm-hmm. So that's been a really different experience mm-hmm. too. But it's been good. We get a lot done.
Yeah. So wait, when the remodel is done, do you have to go back?
We don't know yet.
You also are in a collective.
I am.
Called Related Tactics with Weston Teruya and Nathan Watson. Mm-hmm. You guys have a show up over at Adobe Books.
We just tore it down.
Oh, no, it's down now?
Yeah, we just took it down.
That was a hot commodity. People were Instagramming the living
shit
out of
that. It was an Instagrammable show, just like the ice cream factory. That's what we modeled.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
just like
just
it.
Exactly.
You really had the sight lines, the selfie sight lines all set up.
Totally.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the show was called, what was it called? This is what happens.
No matter the intentions.
There it is.
Oh, good.
No matter the intentions, equity in the arts. And it started, it's basically a text-based show. There are about 41, essentially provocations, kind of address the concept of equity in the arts. I think it was probably about a year ago, maybe even more than that. We had noticed that the three of us were having similar conversations around the concept of equity, and mostly not that we were talking about equity, that many arts institutions were talking about the concept of equity in ways that we found to be troubling. And so we found that we were kind of compiling these lists of like, that's not what equity means, or this is what real equity means, or this is what we mean by inclusion. And we started to just kind of keep a list. And mm-hmm. then once it was like a list in a Google Doc, it just went from like one to like 70 or something, you know, like overnight. So Mark Mayer, the amazing Mark Mayer from the Asian Art Museum, is curating a series of shows at Adobe Backroom Gallery that are, I think it's focused on artist collectives. Hmm. And so he invited us to do something. And so that was kind of, we never really knew what we were going to do with this list. We thought about making it a poster, but then there's like 41 of them and it's like too many words on a poster. So then we're like, what if we made 40 posters? So we actually decided to turn that list into the show. So the three of the walls, two and a half of the walls were filled with these provocations. We had two posters that were basically two questions that centered around like asking artists to talk to each other. Because our interest is really more about like, how do artists negotiate the constructs of the institution, systemic institutionalization, systemic oppression, things like that, with each other and not necessarily with the institution. So what we didn't want to do was create like a checklist for institutions to like negotiate the concept of equity.
Yeah, it was very like plain spoken.
Yeah, it was very plain spoken. Well, the thing about the collective is that it creates a space for all of us to work in that way. I think partly because there's three of us. So it's not just like, I, as Michelle Carlson, am saying this to the institution. It's just like all of us are doing that. So there's something about the collective spirit that makes us feel more capable to make bold claims. And they're all the things that we say and all the things that we talk about all the time and that we code or soften or like cloak with diplomacy when we're like talking.
Yes, that's a really good way to put it.
You know, when you're like in mixed company or, you know, like I think the concept of equity and inclusion are just showing up on grant applications like crazy, right? Yeah. They were being tossed into mission statements. Like people with very good intentions are trying to address the concept of equity and diversity, this concept of diversity, which I think is like a pretty institutionalized word at this point, and inclusion, but they're not actually doing the work they need to do, which is mm-hmm. like a redistribution of power, mm-hmm. right? Yes. And so it's not just like, we can't just like have exhibitions that are like all people of color or people who negotiate systemic difference. It's like shifting the power. That's like real change, and that's real equity, and that's the hard work, and that's hard. Mm-hmm. Like that's hard for all of us to think of how mm-hmm. to do. I think we felt like we were at a point where we were also hearing this, like we're hearing artists butt up against these conversations with institutions everywhere. Like all over. So it felt like the right time for us to do a show like that.
Do you remember some of the things?
I was going to ask you.
Well, the title one is something basic. That's basically like, if you're not hiring people of color to your board, to your paid staff, and if mm-hmm. you're not building leadership into like your organization that's paid, like your institution is not equitable. Mm-hmm. And I think there are some like snarky additions, but things like, you know, it doesn't matter like how many people of color you exhibit or how many signs you hang in your windows, like your institution and organization is not inclusive. Mm-hmm. We've got ones that address like like it's really great if you're showing international artists, but that doesn't excuse you from also working with local communities of color. Mm-hmm. But those are not the same. At the show, we invited people to respond. Mm-hmm. And so people could give written feedback. And there was a lot of response to like, we all live on colonized land, mm-hmm. you know, so we all like need to make room and space for Indigenous and Native American artists yeah. and practitioners. That's like the work, that's all of our work. One of the ones I like, because I like sports, it's something like that we're basically working in an ecosystem or like on a team, and sometimes you're the starting quarterback, sometimes you have to take a knee, sometimes you're on the bench and not even playing, and you have to know your role mm-hmm. and like play that role. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of the proclamations also kind of address, you know, that this is hard work. And sometimes yeah. to do the work of like actual equity and, you know, confronting systemic oppression is you have to do stuff that's uncomfortable for you. And for us, too. You know, and some of the proclamations also address like even for communities of color, this is all very complicated for us, too, mm-hmm. you know, and that we're constantly, you know, in dynamic conversations, and we're constantly rethinking what even the term people of color means, if that's right.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, or like how our communities are working together or not working together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very complicated. And so, like, it's also then even more complicated for, like, white communities, mm-hmm. right? And so, yeah, we really kind of looked at it as not even like a checking of anyone, but just like trying to create like a broader perspective on a lot of the language that's being used. But I think being used in a way that often forgets there's like lived experience and long histories tied to them.
I wonder if it helps, like especially the work that you do with Related Tactics. Do you ever have trouble staying invested in the art world, in the arts?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the original reasons I joined Hyphen was because I didn't want to write about art anymore. Or I didn't want to, I was becoming very skeptical about writing about art for like the high art institution. And I was like, who is reading this? Who is my audience? And why am I writing in this space? And I felt like I had like gone so far into like the art world that like all the things that I was interested in just like didn't make sense in this space anymore. I joined Hyphen so that I could just speak to a broader audience. Mm-hmm. And it felt, I wanted to also feel like the issues I wanted to talk about, which usually have to do with like racial construction, power, systemic oppressions, you know, that kind of stuff, that I didn't want to always have to start at the beginning. And I wanted to be able to work within the community also, and not just like against the institution, or negotiate the institution. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly skeptical of the art world. I think now that being an art practical is really interesting for me, because I can kind of like I have control to like shift the narrative in a way that I haven't before as just an editor, right? Or just working for someone else's publication. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the big goals at Art Practical is to create a space for voices that wouldn't normally be present in, you know, the kind of broader art world or the narratives of the broader art world, and to create pathways to leadership for people who normally wouldn't have that within, like, even if it's just like our small art world, and that we're constantly trying to give away our institutionality. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, how can I create more jobs? How can I create more like lines on people's CVs that said they like worked for like a, you know, like institutional publication? Let's publish Anu's book, right? It's her first book. Like, let's give, mm-hmm. like, just give away our institutionality as much as possible. And that's like one of the things I'm really trying to do. And I think that's like one of the things I try to do like across the board. I've been very lucky, I think, to work with so many folks who are constantly trying to like help me with my own advancement and support me and open doors. And so I'm just trying to constantly do that as well. And like anything that I get, we're trying to like also give that away. And I think that's also a really big part of Related Tactics. You know, even if it's like a little bit of money or a little bit of support or time, like we're always trying to give that away as mm-hmm. much as possible.
We always like to ask our guests at the end, is there anything else you'd like listeners to know?
Our book launch is on Tuesday the 10th. And then the following day, Anu is giving a VCS forum at 9:30 on the San Francisco campus. And then October 16th, the week of October 16th, we launch our publishing season. So Art Practical for the past year has just been publishing thematic issues. And we're about to start monthly content. So we'll be publishing about 6 or 7 new pieces every 2 weeks. So we'll be hard back covering the Bay Area.
That's a lot.
Yep, every month. And then also mostly focusing on the Bay Area, but then also, of course, the rest of the West Coast. So look forward to that. That's kind of our big project.
Yeah.
That's on the table, launching that. So about a week and a half. Get ready.
Super exciting.
Are you all, I know there's the shotgun reviews, right, mm-hmm. where people can kind of submit. Are there other ways for writers to get involved, or like how should they do that?
Yeah, there's a couple different kind of open platform or just open submissions. One is Shotgun. So shotguns are especially great if you've never written or published before. You essentially write a 250 to 400 word review, submit it. We hook you up with an actual editor that runs Shotguns, Emily Holmes, who's amazing.
Oh, yay!
Yeah. It's one of our kind of things we do for the community, so that if you've never written for us, it's not a paid writing gig, but if you've never written for us, you work with a professional editor, and then the idea is that you can use that byline in order to like write for the publication. And then we have a section called Fan Mail, which we're renaming. Any artist can submit their website and link. Oh. And we hire a writer for the whole year to essentially pick every month from, it'll be a little more than every month now, but they pick from the submissions, and then they do a studio visit, and then they write about that person's
That's
work.
That's so very cool. Cool. People submit for that.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be for people who maybe have never had their work written about, emerging folks. Like, you don't have to be in the like gallery world, or you don't have to have a BFA or an MFA. It's just for anyone who mm-hmm. can submit. And so Jamie Crusan is our writer that we hired this year. They just graduated from CCA with a dual degree, so they'll be amazing. And then the rest, everything else, I mean, you can just send us pitches. We accept pitches. Our call right now for our thematic issue, which is a year-long thematic issue focusing on contemporary social practice. Mm. And that the pitches for that just went out. And we'll be doing more calls. We're going to do some live aspects to the issue, and as well as textual, maybe some video. Yay. It's going to be a whole year-long theme. Also, there's going to be lots of events.
This is going to be very incredible. Exciting.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're an inspiration to us all.
You are inspirations.
And as always, congratulations. So may soon I'll be seeing you from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between.
This has been...
Why are you snappy?
Congratulations, Pine Tree!